I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. Senator Pat Toomey is with us next. His monthly visit. I saw on his Twitter today, or at least his staff put out, that he and some others, bipartisan, I think, led the charge to slice $160 million away from this monstrous COVID relief that is all over the place, over that subway in Silicon Valley. And they're moving to stop the earmarking stuff. We're back to the earmarks, which really make no sense. So that's happening in the Senate right now. Let's go to Senator Pat Toomey on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Senator, welcome back in. Thanks for joining
us. Hey, good morning, Dom. Thanks for having me.
So how does it stand? And tell listeners why the earmark thing. I thought that went away. Who is it that's moving it back?
Oh, no. The Democrats are all about restoring earmarks in all their glory. Bridges to Nowhere, special projects named after members of Congress. Totally independent of any evaluation of whether it's necessary, appropriate, has any merit whatsoever. That doesn't matter. And they are all about it. We had this is a small victory in the scheme of things, Dom, but you're right. There were no Democrats joining me in this effort, but my office persuaded the parliamentarian that this $100 million earmark for a Silicon Valley subway system just maybe doesn't have a lot to do with COVID, you know? And it was struck from this bill, but it's a monstrosity. It is obscene what they're doing here, Dom. $1.9 trillion. The vast majority of this has absolutely nothing to do with a pandemic or the economic fallout from the lockdowns. It is just a Democrat wish list. It's paying back their what they perceive to be their coalition. President Biden made a very conscious decision. He had no interest in Republican ideas on this. And 10 of my colleagues marched down to the White House and offered him to negotiate a deal that would reflect a bipartisan approach. Now, frankly, I thought that was too much money. I didn't agree with that. But President Biden could have had a bipartisan bill. He chose no. He wants to shoot the moon and have another nearly $2 trillion of money that we shouldn't be spending. It's just terrible.
Where are you? We talked to Brian Fitzpatrick, though, who's a details guy, too, earlier today, Senator, and he voted for the $1,400, you know, along with the $600 that would give that $2,000. Have you come around on that at all? Or are you even
No,
more
I haven't, Dom. And you and I may still disagree on this, but I just think, look, the economy is in a powerful recovery mode, and there are subsets, there are sectors that are hurting very, very badly, restaurants, travel, entertainment, hotels. We know who they are. But the rest of the economy is booming, and the debate, the argument among economists is for calendar year 2021, which we're well into now, are we going to be growing at like 6%? Or is it over 7%? Now, remember, we were told for years you could never get to 3. And now the question is whether we're going to be at 6 or 7, and we're going to send thousands of dollars to people who make $150,000 a year and never
had...
That's what's going to happen in this bill.
Okay, but I'm not on board with that. I agree.
Okay.
That's out of line.
Then we agree on that.
Is there a figure where... I'll tell you why. Yesterday, testimony of the Wolf person who's temporarily in charge of the business... Department Senate, shocking. She said 500,000 jobs have been lost permanently in Pennsylvania, never coming back. Wow.
Well, you know, what we had prior to this pandemic, Dom, as you recall, was the strongest economy in your lifetime, strongest economy in my lifetime. We were creating jobs so fast that we had more job openings than there were people looking for jobs. There, what's better than that? Rising wages, accelerating most for low-income workers. That's what we should be trying to get back to. And you don't do it by just printing money and sending it out the door. Yeah, I mean, if you stand on a street corner handing out $100 bills, you'll probably be reasonably popular. But that doesn't mean it's a good policy.
Okay, so there's no limit, though. You don't see the need for that now. Is that the position at all? I'm not on board with the $150,000 thing at all, but...
I am not on board with the government being in the business of every few months, let's send out a few thousand dollars more to people who had no lost income. You know, if we can identify people who've been left behind, they fall through the gaps in the multiple safety nets that we have. They somehow haven't been able to, participate in the $4 trillion we've put out the door already, then fine. I'm open to that conversation. But that is nothing to do with what the Democrats are doing here. By the way, can I just say the most egregious thing in this, I think, is the bailout for badly managed blue state and municipalities. Dumb. 350. Let me back up one second here. In 2020, okay, the pandemic year, last year, state and local governments in the aggregate brought in more revenue than they ever did before. All-time record. That's a fact. It's completely it's irrefutable. So they had a record year for revenue. We didn't expect that, but that's the way it turned out. That is separate and apart from the $500 billion we sent them anyway because we thought they were in bad shape. $500 billion. And now the Biden administration tells us, oh, by the way, they need another $350 billion. This is absurd. This is absurd. We've got state after state that's got so much money, they don't know what to do. So they're going to just cut taxes. But what's the point of the federal government going even further into debt to send money to states? So it's either the ill-managed states like Illinois that are fundamentally insolvent, and this just means they have no need to address the problems that create the insolvency. And then it's going to go to other better-managed states that have so much cash, they're just going to send it out to their residents. It's ridiculous.
Now, you are in the process, and I saw today your office released a statement, the Biden nominee to head up Health and Human Services, you're going to vote against, and I couldn't agree more. But I'm also interested in the deputy there and your thoughts on Rachel Levine. So start off with your objection for the person who the Biden set up, Becerra.
Yeah, so Javier Becerra is a radical left liberal Democrat. He was elected Attorney General of California, and he is way outside the mainstream of American thought. He, for instance, supports a complete government takeover of health care, just nationalize the whole thing. He supports partial birth abortion and taxpayer-funded abortion. He would roll and advocates rolling back all kinds of religious liberty protections. He advocates confiscating intellectual property. So he thinks if he doesn't like the price of a particular medicine, the government should come in and confiscate the patent and then just take it away and do whatever they will with it. By the way, he has absolutely no qualifications to be running an agency, the budget of which is bigger than most entire countries' GDPs. He has no background in healthcare, and yet he's going to be nominated for Health and Human Services. So anyway, you look at it, I think he's a very poor choice, and I will oppose him.
And Rachel Levine, the deputy who will be the chief medical officer, Dr. Levine?
You know, I think she did a very poor job answering questions. My questions in a conversation I had with her over the phone, the questions at the hearing that she had. I think the record in Pennsylvania was a badly flawed record. You know, I'll tell you, I asked a question, which, I mean, you tell me if this is a reasonable question in your mind. I say, okay, it's almost a year now since the pandemic broke out. We know so much more now than we knew then, right? We didn't really understand this when it first came out. Nobody could. Given how much more we know now than what we knew then, what would you do differently if you had to do it over again? And the answer was nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine? the lockdown that we had that was totally counterproductive and unnecessary, the fact that we now know that nursing homes are so vulnerable that we certainly shouldn't be sending people out of hospitals who've tested positive into the nursing home setting, the fact that we know that young people and children are almost completely invulnerable to this, and there'd be no difference? That's completely unacceptable to me.
Well, she's used to getting away with this because, look, some people are against her because of the obvious special status, call it what you will, and the media weaponizes that. Your questions are what we need to be asking her about. I think Rand Paul was on point, too, though.
Yes, he was.
I'm troubled deeply. I mean, it's one thing to be fair and equitable for people. The Equality Act, as it comes over to the Senate, is that going to be stopped in the Senate, the Equality Act that passed in the House?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'm not sure, but and Dom, I haven't had a chance to look closely at it, but I have a very strong reason to suspect that it just goes way too far, and it denies religious freedom and the ability of people to practice their faith. So I strongly suspect that it goes too far. I do want to take a look at the actual text before I make a final decision.
Talking with Senator Pat Toomey on his monthly visit. Now, a listener just sent me a note and said, to your point about not spending this money making people whole and the economy poised to take off, the counter is, we really think it's going to take off at all with Joe Biden at the helm.
Well, I think he's going to do a lot of damage, and he will, over time, hold the economy back relative to what it could accomplish. But, you know, with just a few months in office, even his bad policies won't stop the recovery that is underway. That's my view. I could be wrong, Dom, but I think, you know, keep in mind, we more than replaced lost income in the aggregate by the federal government. So personal savings rates are at all-time record high. Disposable income is at all-time record high. There's so many categories where people haven't been able to spend money on restaurants, on travel. So there's pent-up demand on top of everything that is going reasonably well, like manufacturing and goods purchase So as it becomes increasingly obvious that this pandemic is almost entirely behind us in the coming week, I mean, we've already gotten to the point where at least a third of all Americans have either been vaccinated or they've recovered from the virus. We're closing in on a half. So very, very soon, this is not going to be a threat anymore. And I do think the economy comes roaring back. Now, yeah, will Biden's policies weaken it over time? Yeah, absolutely. But boy, for a while, we're gonna have a big boom.
A parting question for you, if you have a comment. So we saw the final vote at the state level that you and I were talking about censure, and they went with some kind of rebuke, which I don't remember that happening even. Did you monitor any of this, and what are your thoughts? It's a lot of people that voted on this and came to that conclusion. What are your final thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, look, I think the important thing for the Republican Party is to take a look at just how radical the Democrats have become. Let's get together. I mean, Republicans, I think, can universally agree that the Trump administration had some tremendous and remarkable successes and accomplishments. There is a disagreement over the president's actions and behavior after the election. Okay, let's put that behind us, and let's focus on winning this next round of elections, taking back the House, taking back the Senate, and bringing an end to the terribly destructive policies of this Biden administration. That's what we should be focusing on.
All right, Senator, thank you as always. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll talk again.
Thanks for having me, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.